Good morning. Here we are again, Sunday morning, and it's beautiful out, and glad to be back.
Yes,
maybe for the last time on Sunday morning, we're going to open up the churches. You guys are going to plan to work?
We're kind of waiting to see what the community decides up there in Fremont. But we're looking forward to it, at least here by the 17th.
Okay. And you're welcome here. We can keep this going as long as you guys need. So, but we're happy to be here, and before we get going, we're just going to have Joe open us up in prayer, and then we'll start in Acts chapter 2 and 3.
So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can come together and worship you. We ask you, Lord, for the filling of your Holy Spirit, that you'd build up and encourage the believers, that you would bring to yourself those who don't know you yet, who are seeking, and that you would, Lord, just use us to accomplish your plan and your purpose this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. All right. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and his work in our life this morning and what is happening with the so-called church now. It's not being called the church, but something dramatic happens in the end of chapter 2 here, and almost an instant change. And it's not found, the example of this or a type of this is really not found in the Old Testament. This is what Paul is going to talk about, the mystery. Something is changing here. And so they're still in Jerusalem. Remember last week it said that they were cut to the heart and they repented. They began to believe in Christ. What shall we do to be saved? And they were saved. And this is the result of the new covenant that was promised to Israel. Now, it was good this morning to hear Gary talk again about this issue. And sometimes he preaches half of our sermons at least. And it's wonderful because it's really a confirmation of the word, a confirmation of the word that the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. In Jeremiah 24, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you and your children. And remember, Peter said this promise was for you and your children. I love that I believe Peter was, he knew his Old Testament.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, of course, is talking to him and reminding him of it as well. So let me just read this chapter 2, verse 42, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came up on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having a favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Amen.
So initially 3,000 are saved, and then of course day by day others. Something had to happen, and it was the coming of the Holy Spirit and power that made an immediate impact on the men of Israel. Remember, this was pointed out again this morning in Sunday school. This covenant was to Israel, and he's still talking to the Israelites. They're still in Jerusalem, and they have this changed heart. They were cut to the heart by the Holy Spirit and the Word. And so the Holy Spirit comes in power, and Joe's going to talk a little bit more about that here in a couple minutes. But this happened immediately, and the devotion changed. There's a devotion that's happening here in verse 42. Listen to what the devotion or who the devotion is to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And it's interesting that the articles are used here. It's the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Not just any kind of prayer, not just any kind of fellowship, not just any kind of teaching.
Yeah.
It was the teaching from the Holy Spirit and the Word, and it was immediate. And the word devotion here means that it was a close hold in their hearts, and they were devoted to making it a part of their lives. It was ongoing. The word is a participle here. It keeps going. And they persevered in it, and they were devoted to these things. Now, did they devote themselves to men? Does it say that they devoted themselves to the apostles? It will say that a little bit later on in chapter 3, but you can't have these men as apostles without the teaching.
Yeah.
It has to be the teaching and what they are teaching that was promised by Jesus Christ. I want to read chapter 1, verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and the Mary, mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So they began the devotion there. But here in particular, the devotion goes one step further to the teaching and the prayers and the fellowship together. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. If no one welcomes you or listens to your words,
yeah.
Because remember, they were sent out to preach two by two. Mm-hmm. And he says, if they don't accept you and your teaching, then wipe the dust off your feet and move on, which will play out here in the next couple weeks in the chapter of Acts. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him that sent me, Jesus Christ said. That's talking of the Father. And so there's a devotion to this. Paul later is going to call it a mystery. But something comes that circumcises their hearts and changes a whole group of people. And we talked about this in the last couple of weeks, this flash fire, the Holy Spirit coming and setting this, if you will, these people on fire so that it will be distributed throughout the world. Now, this is the first place that the word koinonia is used.
For fellowship.
It means we go back to the word devotion here, but it's a very personal attributing to each other's needs. The Bible says that we're not only to look out for our own interests, because, you know, remember, the Lord says, which one of you doesn't love yourself? You go, you feed yourself, you clothe yourself, and those kinds of things. But what happens here is a devotion to other people, a devotion, and we have to say this, to the body of Christ.
Right.
And so there's the breaking of bread. They're taking a part in each other's lives. They're contributing to each other's lives. And it's a very personal issue. They begin to look different. This group is beginning to look different. Now, I want to suggest something here. If you read between the lines, you can get this picture. But later on, we're going to see this. If you take somebody out in the public and you baptize them in public, like that's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
You take them down to the river or you creek or whatever you have, and you baptize them in public. It's a public display of your devotion to whatever is being taught. And so you're taking a body of believers, 3,000, and then at those who are being added day by day, you are having a dramatic change right downtown Jerusalem. And these people are being baptized in public and committing themselves to the apostles' teaching. And you can kind of get a guess what's going to happen from here on out. But to go out publicly, they're taking their lives really in their hands. They are going to go out and change and dramatically have their lives changed. It says, repent and be baptized, and they are coming out of Judaism when they do that.
So this is almost, I don't want to call it a transfer of authority, but it's Christ's authority working now through the apostles and into the church. Because as you brought out, this is, the church is what Jesus Christ is building here. And he's establishing it in a new temple. That temple is in the hearts of men.
Yeah.
So that's part of the new covenant. Now we become the temple of Jesus. So in chapter 3 here, we have this kind of contrast between temples. Chapter 3, 1 in Acts, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called a beautiful gate, to ask alms of those who are entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Leaping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So here, Peter and John are going up to the temple, and they heal this man in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, this should remind most people of one of Jesus' early miracles when he healed the paralytic. And his point was to show that I have the power to forgive sins. I'm going to say to you, rise up and walk. And then this caused a great debate about the forgiveness of sins. And what we have here is this picture of two temples. We have the temples that God is creating, this new church in the lives of his people. And they have the power to display healing to this man, knowing that through Jesus as well now is the power to forgive sins. And I just want to draw that contrast. People went to the temple to make sacrifices for their sins. And though God accepted those as a temporary covering, we know that it says in the New Testament, they did not have the power to really wash away sin. It was just a temporary covering. And here you have this display of the same power that Jesus demonstrated when he forgave the sins of the paralytic. And here you have a similar story of a man being raised up. Amen. And so we have now the contrast of these two temples. The temple now that is ineffective. And by the way, I think it has been ineffective since the death of Jesus, and that veil was torn in two. But it's being demonstrated here. And it's contrasted with those who were coming together in the previous chapter, breaking bread and sharing and coming together in homes. My friends, I want to really encourage you. There are many believers out there saying, "Oh, I believe on Jesus," but they despair and disparage the church. But the church is what Jesus is doing. This is what he is building. This is what he is making. And never forget that the church is the bride of Christ. So to disparage the church is to disparage Christ's bride. I want you to love the church as I want you to love Jesus. Yes, and to be devoted to what God is doing. Some of the best advice I ever got as a young man was to be involved in the church. Be there whenever the doors are open. Come to worship, as well as to hear sound doctrine. Be sure that your church is one that actually believes and follows the word. There are many churches out there that don't do that. We recognize here that through the apostles, God had used great power in healing this man. There are some today who want to claim the power of the apostles and these things. I believe, and we talked about this, that I feel in general that the power has passed on to the church corporally. Yeah. To be an apostle, you had to be, as it showed in chapter 1, an eyewitness of the ministry of Christ from the time of John the Baptist to his resurrection. Right. There are qualifications for apostles, and those qualifications seems to have ended with those who had witnessed his life and who were called here, and the number was set at 12. So, but the church in general then goes on to build on this foundation of the apostles. And there's power in that. God works through his church. He works through people coming together to pray, coming together to worship, coming together to be his people. Right. I just want to emphasize that this requires that we come out from the world. Jesus called his people to come together. the last call in the Bible is where Jesus and the Spirit and the bride say, come, right? Come out from the world, come together in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6, we have this spelled out for us. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Amen. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So God is calling out his people to come together in his church, to worship him and to follow him there.
Yep. Amen. I want to take you back just to chapter 1 just for a minute, if you don't mind. And when the apostles were with Christ still, and he had been giving them the teaching of the kingdom for about 40 days, he said to them, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel to, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, at that point in time, probably the end of the earth was maybe Spain or, you know, the west coast and maybe east there. But the point was that there was a work that had begun, and it wasn't the time for the apostles to know that time of the season to come. I want to come back to chapter 3 here again and just read a little bit here. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But when God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things, which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the beginning of the church. It is appointed, it is clear to us by the appointment of Peter as a spokesman there, of course, and then of the power, which you have said, the miracles and the timing that those disciples were there and doing that work. But something has begun, and this work has to continue until Christ comes back. There's a time frame given here, and we do those things. It's wonderful that in church on Sunday mornings that we take communion together, remembering that Christ is going to come back. And there's an appointed time for both the Israelites there, of course, and then for the church to be to come further. Now, they were devoted to these things. And I think at this point, they're loving life, and they're definitely living large, and they're going to be excited about these things, and they're going to settle in and begin this work. But they had to leave. We're going to talk about this over the next few weeks, and depending on you know how things work out. But they can't stay this way. You see, this is an exciting time for them to be together and devoting to one another. And they love the apostles' teachings, and other people are going to step up to the plate and start doing things. But something has to happen for this fire to go out from them. Not just the 12. I think I'll tell us a little story. We were part of a church one time, and there was 7 men in that church who were excellent teachers and preachers. And we had a good time for a couple years just taking turns and getting together. But something happened in that church that caused those men in particular to disperse. Mm-hmm. Now, when we came here, you were here.
Yeah.
And we were having a good time. And Gary's still here, and we've got now. So we've got this this little group, you know, teaching and who's going to do what, and then you and Cindy are gone, and they needed you in Fellowship Harvest, and so it is God's way to say, listen, you can't stay where you're at, you have to get involved. I'm going to take you. If you don't go out of your comfort zones, I'm going to take you out, because this has to be preached to the ends of the earth. And there's bodies that need each other.
And, you know, this is a really amazing and wonderful thing. Yeah, and I would hope you take this personally. Yeah. God set this time for you and for me. Yeah. God set this time so that we could hear the good news, so that we could believe and come to Him. God loved you so much that he has waited 2,000 years, taking the gospel to the very ends of the earth. And I don't know how much farther you can get from Jerusalem in South Dakota. But I am praising God that He has brought the gospel to the very ends of the earth and to this last days, the ends of this time of the Gentiles, so you could believe, so you could be a part of His family. Yeah. He looked down through time and He saw you and He saw me and He loved us to the point that now He is making a way here for us to come and to be a part of this church, a part of His body, a part of His family.
Yeah, amen. Now, this again, we're going to use this word mystery. This is something that it's going to catch the town of Jerusalem. It's going to catch Judea. It's going to catch Israel off guard. And we're going to see the effects of that as we go over the next few weeks. But something dramatic is happening here. Now, I would assume, in fact, I can presume and I can actually see the evidence of the fact that some of the church... And I'll just point to me. Sometimes I'm a little bit too familiar with the church. And this is what I mean by that. I've become a little too comfortable. I've become a little too, this is the norm. And we're just going to kind of close in. And this is who we are. And what I'm going to suggest is basically what Joe is saying as well. And that is, the church obviously isn't done with her work. There's a point where she's going to be taken, the bride is going to be taken, and yet, if we're still here today, what did Jesus say in John chapter 4? That the fields are still white with harvest. There's somebody that needs salvation. Now, we know that that's going to be a tougher case, and this is what's, to be frank with you, as these times approach, we're going to want to come in, and we're going to want to protect ourselves and protect each other. And what I'm going to suggest to you is, if the Lord was to just want us to protect each other and close up our doors, then He's going to take us home today. Yeah. Because the work of the church is really to do the work that Israel failed to do, to be the light to the nations. And He said that if you're not that, then you may as well just, I'm going to take your light from you. Mm-hmm. And so our work still continues. Now, the folks up in Freeman, the folks who live around Yankton, there's somebody that you have contact with that is not saved, that is not a part of this bride. And so to be devoted, your devotion to the teaching, your devotion to the church and Christ is going to reveal to them the truth. Yep. There's going to be an opportunity, especially if we're praying, there's going to be an opportunity for us to share that truth with those who need it.
And I would really recommend the Billy Graham approach. Start praying for people. That's his approach. Yeah. Start praying for people. Yeah. He recommended you take a list of about 10 people and pray for them. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for those things. And God will give you a heart for your people, and He'll give you opportunities to witness.
Yeah. Amen.
To witness. But just as it began here, they came together in prayer. So we need to really start praying for those that God has brought into our lives, believing He brought them there for a purpose, and that we can have an opportunity to help lead them to Jesus.
Yeah, amen. The last note I would like to make is on this idea of selling possessions, mm-hmm. because this is interesting, and I think that we're in a caring church. There really isn't any need within our church. When there is, we try to meet those needs, and I know that we have many people in our church, and I'm sure in yours, that meet these needs. What was happening here is that as these people lost their jobs because of the Judaistic thing, because of the oppression that was going to start coming upon them, there was going to be need.
Yeah.
And what I would like to suggest is we keep this in our minds going forward. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what family. In fact, the last couple of weeks, I know of a couple folks who have lost their jobs because, or some have diminished work because of what's happened.
Yeah.
And if we keep this in mind going forward, what that will do is cause us to not be afraid and give up our you know Christian morals, but actually dive in faith. And the Lord will reward us for it. Not maybe so much materially.
Right.
But spiritually.
Hey, if you got love, joy, and peace, the rest of these things are, you know, are irrelevant almost.
Yeah.
But God's people are giving people.
Yeah.
And God, He just works in people's hearts. As He gives to us, He wants us to turn around and give to others. As He forgives us, He wants us to turn around and forgive others. As He has loved us, He wants us to, you know, to love others.
Right.
So all these things come together. And I'm not afraid to stand up and say it. If you're going to love the Lord, give to those ministries that bless you. Give to people in need.
Yep.
Provide for your family. But this is for our benefit to be a giving people. And it's a way of being of showing our thanksgiving to God for all that He has done for us.
Amen. So we're the called out ones. This is the mystery that God had promised to come. We can see little bits and pieces in the Old Testament. Really, it is an absolute mystery. And Paul uses that term as something that was evident only to God. And that He was going to reveal it at a time that came. And this is it.
Yeah.
This is going to break down. This thing breaks down the wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. The temple, like you said, is no longer going to be the meeting place. We're going to take the temple with us.
Yeah.
And so God is doing something absolutely dramatic and new. And I just want to appeal to your hearts that this is what's happening right now. It's still going on. This wonderful mystery continues. And if we can have that excitement and joy in our hearts that we are a part of this mystery with the called out ones.
Yeah. And we wanted to talk about the authority that comes through the apostles, the authority that comes through these things.
Yeah.
And it comes through with the word of God. Right. So they were devoted to the authority of the apostles through their teaching. And let me just say there's power in this old Bible. There's power in these words. There's an authority that comes with Scripture. And those who use it correctly, it convicts hearts, it builds people up, it is the sword of the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to be in the Word of God, and we encourage people to be in churches that believe and follow the Bible as God's Word.
Amen.
As they come together in groups and worship the Lord. There is an authority in these things that comes through Christ, but remember, Christ called Himself the Logos, the Word of God, and His authority really does come from His Word.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's my last note.
Amen.
we just look forward to what the Lord's going to do here in the next couple of weeks. We really don't understand exactly where we're going to go next Sunday. We may be back to normal, but
we're hoping, but I think some of that's going to depend on what happens and what the Lord allows.
Right.
But I think that's the plan, which we'd love to get back together and things kind of get stabilized again. But we want to be careful too. And folks out there, you want to be careful, be wise about what you do and keeping your health and keep yourself well.
Yeah. So Wednesday night at 6:30, we will be here and we're going to record it for Fellowship Harvest in particular, but those folks who are not comfortable in coming back here as well. And then going forward, I just want to, and I'm going to appeal to you one more time, and that is this. Pentecost is coming at the end of the month. And just if we can have this heart in us that this, again, is the birthday of the church.
Okay.
And really, we all have brand new birthdays now because of it. Born again because of this wonderful day. So we'll celebrate that at the end of the church. Keep that in mind. And be looking up as we look for the return of our Lord and Savior.
Are you going to close this prayer?
Yeah, I will. Right. Thank you so much for your grace, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful that you are not just a part of our lives. You are in our lives, and our lives are yours. And that only comes by the light that you shed into our hearts. It only came because you cut our hearts and circumcised them, Lord God. And that you turned our minds to you. So that we repented of those deeds, we've repented of those things that come along with faith. And we thank you for that. Lord, be with each heart as we go into May. Lord, we pray for a reopening of the whole United States. But yet, Lord, we want to remember what you have done in the last 6 to 8 weeks. We want to remember, Lord, that these things are coming, and yet you have given us a great and wonderful hope. And the mystery of the church is the birthday of that hope. And we're very, very grateful for that. Comfort those who are anxious, and let us have faith in you and your coming. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.